And I first of all say this morning, privilege is mine to be with you and to share the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is that we have something in common to share and to express our love for in none other than Jesus Christ, our Saviour. I'm privileged to have known Andrew and Gwyneth. They mentioned their time down in West Wales, but I can go back beyond that, even to the conferences in Aberystwyth many, many years ago, where we shared so much when we walked that promenade, and in the meetings have been richly blessed as we sat under the Word of God. And this morning to be with you and Carwyn with me is a privilege and a pleasure, because we have a love for each other. Thank my sister for reading. It's a reminder, Psalm 31. My text is found, if you would like a text, is verse 14 of Psalm 31. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. May seem a psalm of distress, and it is. Psalm of misfortune, a psalm that you might say, well, it's a lament this morning of David, and truly it is. And yet I beg you to look at it in the light of the truth that it's also a psalm of trust. And who David knew that his only hope was to turn to the Lord himself. And I believe this morning as I come to you, it's a common thing even in our world and our society, but even our churches, to know this morning that many people are going through difficult times. The distress in people's lives is tremendous. And you meet, and as pastors, we meet with it literally every day as we are called to minister into the homes of people where problems seem to mount up in a way that, well, this morning it's not easy to try and of the man himself to solve any problems. But we can only turn them to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. David was in great difficulty. We don't know exactly this morning why he was in such a distress. Was it because Saul was indeed persecuting him and trying to bring him down and destroy his life? You note in times of the passages that was read to us that there was people wanting to kill David. Or, on the other hand, was it Absalom, his own son, that he himself was trying to overthrow his father? And you have that reminder through it that whether he's set in Ziglag or indeed in a place called Keilah, that here there was evidence that this man was alone, seemingly alone, and in dire trouble. Now, you and I know that when trouble comes to you and me, we naturally react in a way, even as Christians. What can I do? How can I solve it? What is the way in which I can indeed overcome? You know yourself that when we come to the new year, we often have that situation where we say, well, stepping out into the unknown. And that Minnie Hoskins Graham's Hill up a verse, as you remember, I said to the man at the gate of the year, and so forth. A reminder of a person who is do not know what lies ahead. And this morning here as a congregation, we none of us knows what even this day will bring. But we come to realise more and more our dependence upon the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it's true to say this morning that into these circumstances, it's true that we feel so much inadequate to deal with problems. I had two young members with me in one of my first churches, way back in 1991 it was. Saddam Hussein had gone into Kuwait, and you remember the, what is it, the 100-hour war that followed, and the result of the Western powers were able to remove Saddam Hussein. And of course he was sitting, as you said, on the fence, we remind ourselves this morning. And he was making these threats. And he was talking of germ warfare. And that he was going to lower these germs into our reservoirs. And it's lovely to come down from the Brecon side this morning and see the lovely reservoirs on the way. And it reminded me then of what I was going to say. And the result was this young couple had two little children, two little girls. One night about 10 o'clock she rang me up and she said, she was living in Cardiff, they worked with the Welsh Orchestra. And she said, what am I to do, Pastor? Is it wise for me to emigrate? Where's it best to go to? And the young lady was desperate, not knowing what to do in the circumstance. I remember sharing for an hour or so with her on the phone, trying to reassure her to put her trust in God, and that she'd find that indeed hope that was there within him to know that peace that passeth all understanding. That was then. I had a cousin who went out, had a scholarship award in Yale University in America. It's time that the occasions when John F. Kennedy and Cuba, the Russian, as were trying to put those missiles there. And he said to see the Americans, how they reacted to the circumstances were amazing. Amazing. They wanted to flee out into the countryside and to escape the dangers that could threaten them. Now, I'm suggesting these things this morning to you, that man is indeed, by nature, fearsome. Do not know what's going to happen to us. And David was no exception from it. In fact, there's a book being written by a man by the name of George Truett who says the title is The Conquest of Fear. And of course, he is a Christian. But you see, this morning, the reality is what I want to bring you this morning is a reminder that every one of us goes through difficulties and problems day by day in our lives. We don't know what we are confronted with. How are we going to deal with it? And the reality is that we realize that we have to lean on someone. And that someone, I come this morning to tell you, is none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here into this reality, we see David. We are told in some of the verses here that in verse 11 and 13, I'm a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. And then verse 13, I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel against me. They scheme to take away my life. You see, this morning, here's a man in desperate plight. And it's true to say that one of the saddest things that can happen in your life and mine is when somebody tries to take away your character and mine. It's been the experience of many people. I remember Joel Beakey. Some of you know Joel Beakey, the teacher and preacher, writer, saying how in his church in America that he was indeed accused of something which he hadn't done. And it was, well, life searching, in the sense he didn't know how to deal with it. And he was in his study, and that particular morning he was there weeping. And he was banging his desk, and he's saying, Lord, why have I got to go through these things? Eventually, after he composed himself and went out, crossed the road to an old second-hand bookshop, He pulled down a book, and you know, sometimes when we open even our Bible, sometimes we may open at random, and there's a verse seemingly is for you and for me, as if the Lord is saying, "This is for you." Not an audible voice, but it seems to be speaking to your circumstances. Well, Joel Beakey took down the book, an old book from the shelf, opened it up, and there it said, "Why are you so distressed? Why are you so downhearted? You going through some experience perhaps that you feel you can't deal with. Do you know the Lord himself? He went through circumstances beyond your understanding. He went to the cross of Calvary and he died on the cross. He bore your sins and took them willingly there to Calvary to die in your place so that you may go free. What are you grumbling about?" Joel Beakey closed the book, put it back on the shelf, and went home into his study and wept even more. To think that his Lord and Master, who had suffered, who was innocent, and yet here he was, grumbling over situations that he could probably eventually deal with. Now I know what it is to have these situations. Every pastor goes through it. Andrew could stand here as well as I could. And sometimes in our church life we go through great difficulties. And the amazing thing about it, as a Christian, you cannot respond. In the sense, on the human effort, you would take a person to court for a character assassination, as you might say. But in many incidents, you will have a situation where you go through these experiences. And in humility, you bear them. I had 2 or 3 elders in one of my churches, and I remember well. They were great men, but they were powerful men, and they would not indeed tolerate anything which the pastor would say over the years. Their word was more important than ever the pastor was. We had 3 churches in that pastorate. And one church was growing and their church was not. And I can say this morning humbly, that was probably the beginning of the basis of their disagreement. They wanted to bring you down. They do everything in which they possibly could without being worldly, to show their authority and to bring your name into a disrepute. You see, this morning I'm only saying these things, a reminder to us that how man often goes through difficulties. And Christian men and women like yourself perhaps are going through experiences this morning. Well, David knew what it was. He knew even his closest friend, a man who was his counselor and who had deserted him and left him and went over, as it were, to the other side, to that was following Absalom. And the result was that he was bereft of all these things. He lost confidence in people. And you can quite easily lose confidence because of situations that can occur in your life. Well, this question this morning comes. How did David overcome? How did David be able to realize in that rational way that God was his only need? God could meet that need. And I believe this morning, as you look at your psalm this morning, you will see the evidence of it. Time and time again, David, at his lowest point, suddenly realizes that he has a friend, one who will never forsake him. God has said to you and me, and through Jesus Christ, I will be with you always. Even to the end of the age. I will never forsake you or nor leave you. And the joy is this morning, we stand upon those promises. They are yea and amen to every believer this morning who trusts in the Lord, who knows the presence of him whom to know is life eternal. The reality this morning that we come like David and realize that we have to put our trust in him. There was a great Scottish divine who had a member in his congregation. She was a wonderful woman. She knew her scripture. She could relate scripture and she understood scripture to a certain degree. She knew the doctrines. And she was one of these people that was a pleasure always to be in the company of. But she lacked assurance. She said time and time again to her pastor, "You know, I can't really know for sure that God trusts. I can trust God. I can put all my trust in him." Well, the minister, as a good minister is, he went and spent time with her many times after the service. So one day he decided he'd visit her. He went along to the little place where she lived. And across over, I'm told, to her house, there was a little stream. And you can imagine this morning that little stream had a little bridge, which was a plank of wood and a rail sticking up on one side. He went over it, went into the house to her, spent an hour with this dear soul, and tried every way to reassure her that she should put her trust only in God. And she went away feeling very disappointed because she didn't even seem to be assured. But when he came out, he came to the little wooden bridge. And you can imagine it this morning. Put his foot on it and then took it back. Now he knew in his mind that the living room of this dear woman was directly behind him and her window was looking out at him. So he took hold of the rail again and he put his foot out, pulled it back. He did this a number of times. And the dear woman couldn't stick it no longer. She opened the window and said, "Trust it, trust it." And he turned to her and he said, "Yes, you trust Jesus Christ and you will find it." And he walked across the bridge. You see, this morning, it's trusting. Is putting your trust and my trust in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Knowing that he will undertake for us. Knowing that he is able to. Knowing full well that he understands your problems, what you are going through. Day by day as you live your life out. But he understands. Why? Because he has walked this journey before. Ever us. And that we know that he is able to meet our needs. Had he been born, the mighty king, as the Jews was waiting for him to come in, the Messiah to be someone glorious riding on a charger, he would never be able to understand you and me. But he came, as we know, he rode with his mother in her womb on a donkey. He rode down into Jerusalem on a donkey. The humility of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in his humanity is something really to be admired this morning. He came for you and for me. He came just as we are this morning. We haven't got to do anything. Excuse me. You realise this morning that he came in such a way that he took upon himself our burden. And this is a glorious thing this morning, isn't it? To know in our hearts that we are accepted in him, accepted in the Beloved. That he came and he died in your place and mine, as we've said. He ascended into heaven. He represents you and me today. He indeed stands before the presence bearing his blood to his Father, so that we may know forgiveness of sin through that precious blood. So you see this morning it's trusted. This putting the trust in him. We often sing a hymn, don't we? "I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation, great and free." And that is for everyone this morning who truly believes and put their trust. Now trust is a result of faith. Faith itself will never save us. But faith in that of trust, and the trust which is in Jesus Christ, will enable you and I to know this morning not only forgiveness of sin, but the joy and the assurance that belongs to every believer. When Andrew interviewed me, I said openly, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I knew the Lord. But this morning, I can stand here before you and say humbly, I didn't know. I didn't know at that juncture. Yes, church going, I sat in the pew every Sunday. I took part in services. I thought I had it all. Until by grace. And that's the amazing truth that David has defined as well as you and I. As by grace, unmerited, undeserved favour that is extended towards you and me in Christ Jesus. That we can come just as we are. If we belong to any other world religions, we would have to attain certain standards, wouldn't we? Yes, follow the mystic way. Do this and do that. Jesus says, come, just as you are. David was able to come because he knew that his times was in the hands of God. Your life and my life is in the hands of God this morning. Every breath that you and I take this morning is at least by the allowance of God's mercy and his grace upon us. God loves us. That I keep telling my congregation, some who are non-believers. God loves you. God wants you in his kingdom. God indeed gave his only begotten son in such a way he is saying to us, God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave it willingly for you and for me this morning. That we may know that peace. And know that assurance. That hope which is eternal. And you see, this morning as we come, we go to that rock, my dear brother mentioned in his prayer, that rock which you find in the psalm. Yes, oh, to the rock which is higher than I. This morning we come to that rock. We enjoy, if you're a Christian this morning, in that rock. That fortress, that foundation which you can build your life upon. And know that when things are not well, as Spafford said when he said that glorious and when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like storm bellows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. David at the end begins to praise God, and he praises God for his goodness. He sings the joy and happiness of it. Of knowing that God can overcome all things. And you note the final two verses which our sister read this morning. Tells you and me clearly that he encourages others. And that's why I'm here this morning. Because I love the Lord. I delight in the Lord. I want his name to be glorified. I want his name to be honoured amongst all people. I feel this morning, as we heard in the prayer, the problems that beset us, this society, this world in which we live, with all its trials and tribulations and moral and spiritual decay, the only hope is Jesus Christ. And that I stand on this morning as I come before you. Yes, my times are in your hand. May God bless you as a church. May God, indeed, through your pastor, be able to go further and further into the understanding and the knowledge of his goodness and his mercy to you and me. That together we may be able to praise the living and eternal God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we thank you this morning that we can turn to your word. That word that is ever new. May have been written thousands of years ago. But it's so relevant for today's age as it was in the time of David, that he too had to learn that even through his difficulties, that there was a way back to God. And that way back to God from the dark paths of sin was to trust and believe on him. And we ask humbly this morning that you'll bless these meek words of man this morning, that you may use them through the Holy Spirit. To reach into the hearts of perhaps those who have yet to come to faith, that they may see the hope and the joy that should be theirs in believing in Jesus. We ask it now in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, our brother. has chosen is the final hymn for us this morning, which is 570. A man there is, a real man, who once on Calvary died. His blood for guilty sinners ran from hands and feet and side. 570 as we stand.